Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you have reached American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, joined with co-host Selena Lindsay. We're going to have a great time tonight. Tonight's topic is going to be Men to Men Cafe and Women to Women Cafe tonight with Bishop Ahearns and Mona Lisa Stelworth as guest speakers. Both speakers will be present at the Fathers and Families National 24th Convention, Be the Difference. We will also be joined by Dr. James Rodriguez, CEO of Fathers and Family Coalition of America. Dr. James Rodriguez will talk about our upcoming 24th Annual Fathers and Families National and International Convention, Be the Difference. Join us tonight on American Health Crisis through Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Paulette Young, speaking. And right now we have the two speakers are here and will be speaking shortly. James Rodriguez is not on the line yet. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and introduce Bishop. Are you on the line?
Yes,
Bishop
I am.
Kearns? Okay, yes. And Mona Lisa, you're on the line.
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Okay. All right. We're going to have, if you don't mind, whichever order you two want to go in, one of you go ahead and start talking.
Well, Bishop, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, if you want me to introduce myself, but other than that, I was born and raised in Mississippi, and we always honor women first. So.
Well, thank you very much. That's why I like my Southern men. Thank you very much. I am Mona Lisa Stelworth. I will be hosting and have hosted over the last year or so the Women to Women Cafe Chat.
And I am, go ahead, Mona, was there anything else?
No, I think that was Paulette speaking. You can go ahead.
Okay, this is Bishop Henry Ernst, and born and raised in Mississippi, and coming up on the 23rd of April, if the Lord should let me live to that point, I'll be 90 years old, and so I've been through a lot of things and a lot of places and done a lot of things. So I was honored to be a part and a friend along with Dr. Rodriguez and help to develop the Men to Men program. So that's kind of a long story about me and it.
Well, that sounds like an abbreviated version of it. Why don't you share what you share with me on how the Women to Women and Men to Men Cafe Chat got started, about 5 years ago?
Huh? You want me to go ahead and do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. First of all, Ms. Paulette, thank you so much for having us on your program. We're glad to be, and hopefully what we do tonight will have a lot to do with inviting people to be at our session in April 24th, 27th. I'm going to guess about 5 years ago, or thereabouts, Dr. Rodriguez and myself was driving someplace or the other, and I mentioned to him that I thought it would be a good idea not only to just to have workshops, but to have a time of relaxation to where men could come together, just men. No women allowed. Yes, ma'am. And In the process, we came up with an idea that on a Wednesday night, which is normally a prayer night for many of our churches, that men would go to prayer meetings. So at that point, we would get some pizza during the conference and just gather in one of the rooms and have at it, just men talking to each other and really having discussions on various issues that we didn't want women necessarily to hear, because what we wanted to do is to find out at least from other men how we made our marriages work. And some men who were not married, who were just single, they wanted to know how do you get to where you are? And how are you able to have houses and land and property and all the other stuff that men want to just talk about? And so what we did is that's what we came up with, a man-to-man and ultimately later on women-to-women. And
but, Bishop, do you remember why we had to shift and have women to women? This is Dr. James T. Rodriguez. And I hope you remember what happened when we evaluated our men-to-men cafe.
You mean?
The women were upset, right?
They sure were.
No, if you remember, and you have, people don't know, Bishop Henry Hearns is a tall gentleman. Kind person, very kind, very intelligent, very thoughtful. I've learned to be quick in thought and slow on my words so that I'm intentional. But as we evaluated, there were different people, and they said, you should have let us go into the men-to-men session so we could teach you all how to be better men. And you remember that now? Do all things come back to your remembrance? And I just sat there thinking, I'm not going to say anything. And all of a sudden, there was about 50 people evaluating it online. I felt like, thank goodness, most of them were virtual, so we could just run away. Because then became the challenge. All right. We're going to start Women to Women Cafe as well. And I think it really got great, the Women to Women Cafe. But that's how that started, because you and I had a conversation, and all of a sudden that conversation led to them, not in a bad way, but wanting to do the opposite of creating a safe environment for men to share some pretty intense topics. Maybe you can even kind of talk about some of the intense topics that we've discussed.
Yes, and you know, I don't remember what year, James. I think it might have been the second year that we came together. One gentleman came back, but that night we got into talking about marriage and children and differences between how men think and how women think. And this one just cried his heart out because we had hit upon some things that he was going through. And he came back the next year and said, guys, I'm so happy we did that because I think it helped.
Someone has a background noise that you can quiet it.
Or mute them.
Can they hear me?
It sounds like somebody's snoring.
Well, I thought it was a dinosaur or something. I was getting scared. I thought it was some raptoritis, some dinosaur. If that's someone snoring, They need to go to Men to Men or Women to Women Cafe to learn about healthy relationships and not to be selfish.
But anyway, you know, this Men to Men thing and Women to Women, I think, is one of the better things that Dr. Rodriguez, that you've allowed to become a part of our conference. And I think it's really something wonderful. We're looking forward to it this year because of the fact that men can just let their hair down, those who have hair, and women can do the same thing and help each other from where they stand. So
if I can chime in right now in regards to the Women to Women Cafe, we found that women needed a safe place where their voices could be heard. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening, and that's what we do in the Women to Women Cafe. We listen to each other. We take the time to ponder what's being said by the other women and sharing. And when we were going through COVID and a lot of the women were trying to work at home, take care of three different kids and middle school, elementary, and they had, you know, toddlers, having a place where they can just come and just share what was going on and hear that they weren't the only one, that was a lifeline to them. So we talk about a variety of subjects, but it's more than just having them heard. They were finally being listened to. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about being part of Women to Women.
And I think it's exactly the same with the guys. We're not just talking football. Of course, we recognize that coming up this particular Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday and all that. But really, we got on some very deep subjects. And the guys were not afraid. And the other thing that was so wonderful about it, it was not just all black guys or brown guys. It was black guys, brown guys, white guys, period. And what we found out in that is that being black or being brown ain't too much different. We all go through some very similar issues. And one of the things that we can do with Men to Men is we're able to listen to other guys and how they resolve their issues, and we're able to take them and somehow apply them to what can help us through our issues.
Bishop, you have a favorite saying that you like to say that applies to how we conduct the Men to Men and Women to Women Cafe, and that is, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You want to expound on that?
Yes, that is one of my favorite things. I pastored for 52 years. One church, and the church started off with probably about 25 members or so and grew to over 1,000. One of the things that I found out that people are not so concerned about you being the best in your head or the most brilliant person or none of that. What they really want to know is how much do you care about them. So being a pastor, people want to know how much do you care about them, not how much you know as a preacher, but how much do you care about me as a member who may not be able to pay any money. Do you care about me too? And that is one of the things. I got something else let me share, and I don't want to eat up all the time. Yell up when I'm getting too far here. I never will forget it. One Sunday at our church, I preached a sermon, I don't know if it's on Father's Day or something near Father's Day, and I said, how many of you guys in here that never had a hug from your daddy? I never had your daddy to say I love you. And doggone it, I made a bad mistake. I said, and if you haven't, come on to the stage. And we have a stage that will hold about 100 people that you can get on the stage. And I got covered up with men, and this was not boys. I had some guys up in there 60 years old and older who had never been hugged by their dad or never been told by their dad, I love you. And I tell you, I like to cry my heart out on that stage that day. So there are things that men need to be able to share with other men that will help them along the way.
And that is true for women. There have been occasions where we discuss, you know, daddy's girls. And there are many women on the call, because we did Zoom, that could not relate to what it meant to be a daddy's girl. They didn't have fathers in their lives, or the fathers that they had in their lives told them that they would never be anything, that they weren't smart, they're not this, they didn't live up to a certain standard. So I can understand that women are also dealing with that. That's why having a safe place to even be that vulnerable to say to someone, my daddy never told me he loved me. I don't even know what that would feel like to have someone in my life that cared about me, that wanted to make sure I had the best, that was looking out for me. And that's not an easy thing, especially if you're in your 50s and 60s, to say you've lived your whole life and never really experienced that.
You know, Mona Lisa, many, many years ago, I had left active duty because I made a choice to put my children first. And then when I did, I still don't regret it. I wish I could have stayed active duty for sure, but I wouldn't be on this call right now. And I never forget my son and my daughter, my oldest children that I had full custody of since my son was 2 years, 7 months, my daughter was 18 months old. So my son had a friend, and I think I've adopted so many of my children's friends that ended up becoming like adopted nephews and nieces.
Yes.
And I don't know how many men or women, teenagers are listening, but you would be shocked, and maybe this might be one of you listening, how many are never told that they are loved. And my son's friend, his best friend Victor, his dad was a firefighter and his mother was a social worker. And he said to me, Mr. Rodriguez, and I said, yes. And this is, he had been at my home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're about to have Sunday dinner. And he had come over a lot over this time. He had already been over, like, I almost felt like I was about to adopt him every weekend. Mr. Rodriguez, I counted 76 times that you either gave a hug, a kiss, or a pat on the back, or you told your children that you love them, because I've been counting. And my father has never said he loved me, that his love is based on the home that he's provided. And I thought to myself, now, mind you, this is not the 1970s that this was occurring. This was in the late 1990s going into the 2000s. And it dawned on me that this young boy, who is now a man, was never told by his father. And I didn't believe it. So I asked the dad, he goes, oh, I don't need to tell him, he should know. My dad never told me. That young boy ended up doing things to get his father's attention, including dabbling in drugs, the criminal activity life, not going to school, dropping out of school. And years later, almost about 20 years later, I saw him, and he had no purpose, no passion, and was still living at home with mom and dad, and they had all moved from a home to an apartment. And I thought, what if there was just more love in that home versus you should already know?
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of men come to our men-to-men, and sometimes we go over the time, in fact, every single time at our annual conference, every time. But, man, sometimes they just need to know that they're loved.
And the same thing with women. Instead of women looking outside of the home for that love and getting involved with the wrong type of men, had they heard that from their fathers or their uncles or somebody in the family to let them know that they were valued and they were worthy and that there should be a certain standard that any man that wanted to talk to them should ascend to, a lot of them would not have been involved because we did shows on domestic violence. Narcissistic personality, those kind of things that women who are searching for love get involved in because they want it so badly to, they don't take the time. That needs, trust needs to be earned. It is not given. But if you don't know that and you're just looking for love, the first person that says you're cute or, oh, I would love to take you out or whatever, you just jump at it because you don't have that foundation.
Right.
And women need the opportunity, like I said, all age groups, because no matter how old you are, you know, Maya Angelou says, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. So it doesn't matter if doing our chat, people are learning stuff at 20 or at 50. Whatever the rest of the time you have on this earth, that knowledge is going to help you have a better quality of life. So that's the other reason why, like, because we don't have an age limit. People come in, and when you're sharing experiences, it's important to share because someone else needs to hear that. What you've gone through is your testimony, and it should be used to help someone else so they don't have to go down that same road you went down.
I have a question to ask. This is Paulette, your host, Paulette Young.
Okay.
But and one of the men, maybe they can answer it. When you, and I experienced this, when I just went into teenage years, how the body begins to develop, that's when my daddy stopped hugging me. I got no more hugs.
When he did what?
Yeah, let me say this, and I know, Bishop, you come right after me. There's no way that I'm ever going to stop hugging my children, never. And I'm going to say my oldest daughter, okay, I have a son who's born the 30th of December. My oldest daughter is the 16th of February. My birthday is the 17th of February. My youngest daughter is the 18th of February. The person that taught them about when they were going to have a life cycle change as a young girl into having their first menstrual cycle, it had to be me because there was nothing else for my oldest. And then my youngest, it wasn't the same. It was more of having a mother versus a mom. And there's a big difference between a mom and a mother. Like, there's a big difference being a dad or daddy's girl versus having a father. One is the creator and one is brings life in the world, but the other one is just, like, doing deeper than that. So all these years, and then recently someone said, my oldest daughter, for her birthday, she said, Dad, go to this lingerie store for women, for apparel, and if you can, buy me stuff from there. You know how comfortable an adult woman has to say that in her 30s to her dad, saying, that's what I like, a gift card from that store? And you know what? I didn't think it was negative. I didn't think anything bad about it. But there are a lot of women that never experienced their father being involved in their life. So they're like, why is your dad doing something like that? That's because the abnormal has become normal. It was never
correct.
Normal for fathers not to be there for their daughter. They're the ones that had to teach them, hey, I don't want you ending up with something that's like a dog. I want you to end up with a king. But how are you going to have that conversation unless you're there? And so there's no way I won't hug or kiss my children. Even my adult son yesterday when I dropped off boxes of Girl Scout cookies that I bought for him and his children, and he snatched one box and said, Daddy, that's for me only. I was like, oh, that's a little selfish. You won't even let me have one cookie, huh? And he said, no, Daddy, you said you got to get in good shape. I'm just trying to take care of you. And he gave me a hug and a kiss on my cheek. Now, I know that there's a lot of fathers that have probably not been hugged and kissed on their side of their face that may listen to this, and you're missing out because you never gave a hug and a kiss. And I don't know, that's how I see it. I know, Bishop, I've seen you around your children. I'm just curious to hear what you have to say about daughters and affection.
Oh, yeah. I think you know that, James. I just asked you the other day to help me get myself a motel room for the conference. And I need two double beds because my daughters come in and out, and they spend the night with me in the same room. And we have no problem with doing that. Not only that, the very first prom, I never had a chance to go to high school. And when my second daughter got into high school, she had not gotten a prom date. And she came and said, Daddy, I don't have a prom date. I said, well, you do now. And I got myself a white tux, matching her white dress, bought her flowers, picked her up at the door, and I went to the prom with my daughter, and she wouldn't let but a few of her friends even dance with me. my daughter. So we, and I think it was just 3 or 4 years ago before Dr. Marshall passed, I don't know where we were. I think we were in St. Louis. All three of my daughters and I ended up in St. Louis, and all three of my daughters and me had one room, and some we had to sleep on the floor on pallets, what have you. But I never think about it. We hug and kiss all the time. And my daughter, in fact, my daughter was over here earlier tonight and brought me my dinner. And when she got ready to leave, I said, you gonna eat with me? She said, no, I ain't got time. But she came over, put the food right in front of me, kissed me, and I kissed her back. And she is 53, I think, 53 years old. And my oldest son is 66 or 67, and we hug all the time. So that's just the way I grew up with my kids. No, we don't know what it means not to.
Well, you two were those fathers that did show that affection, but there's a lot of fathers when a daughter's body changes. Is very. My father was uncomfortable. In fact, some of the rules changed when that happened. I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. I used to hang out with my twin brother, 2 years older. And that one summer, it did leave a mark on me, a scar, because my body developed, I couldn't hang out with the boys anymore. We would go swimming together. We did everything, climb fence, rooftop, and so then I had to reconnect with the girls in the neighborhood, the ones that had to stay home all the time. That was hard. That was a total changing point in my entire life. Couldn't be with my twin brother anymore. or my brothers, all because my body is off.
Is Bruce a certain time in the speech or whatever? He's usually an hour and a half.
What?
Wow.
Got it. Okay. You got it. Thank you. I'll watch both, I promise.
Okay, Mona Lisa, what do you have to say about that?
That is a hard thing because, again, I find that it's important to stop and think about your father's childhood. How was he raised? What kind of, you know, we come from a culture a lot of times that what goes on in the house stays in the house, and you don't know what he was exposed to. And to keep, I guess, maybe not doing anything inappropriate or have anyone else say anything appropriate, he thought, he may have thought that that was the safest thing to do, not understanding the effect it had on you. And it's interesting because I don't recall you mentioning whether you even had a conversation with him about how that made you feel, because a lot of times we don't bring it up, we just accept it. And that's what we need to try to change about the culture. If you were uncomfortable now that he wasn't hugging you, did you say anything to him about it?
No, I didn't say anything about the hugging, but I did say something about the changes of why couldn't I hang out with my brothers and their friends anymore, because that meant I had to get a different group of friends in the neighborhood. And as far as I was concerned at that age, the girls did a lot of boring stuff like play school, I'll be the teacher, play house. They didn't find food and stuff. They were very boring, so I had to learn how to socialize with this boring group of people. I was with my brothers and their friends.
Yeah, but not putting you on, not putting you on the spot, Paulette. But those are some of the things we talk about in the women to women chat, trying to understand why is it if it hurt you so much that you didn't talk to your dad about it. Instead, you just kept that inward, and that changes you. You whether you realize it or not, something says to you, there's something wrong with me now. Now all of a sudden, I can't be hugged. I can't this. I can't that. That's why it's so important that open communication, and you feel comfortable enough to share those feelings. And you're right. Those are the kind of things that we discuss because they haven't had a safe place to discuss it before and to hear that they're not the only one whose father did that.
I just said, I guess in my own mind, I wanted children so badly. I wanted 12 children is what I wanted. We ended up with 6, but I wanted 12. And I enjoyed my kids. I grew up with them. We were at the beach. We were doing something every Saturday, not only go to church. And I knew that when they were little, they weren't interested in church. I said, okay, you go to church with me, and after church, you'll go wherever you want to go. And we would do that. We would go somewhere else or do something else. And me and the boys, when they got big enough, you're just throwing rocks sometimes. Nothing but just chunking a rock. They hit a bottle sitting on a post not too far away. So I wanted children, and I don't know how anybody could really want kids and not want to hug on them and mess with them. I created some kind of problem for them all the time.
But again, that's why in these chats, people are able to share from their diverse background. They didn't grow up in an environment like you did, Bishop, where that was that loving, that kindness there, and that appreciation for your children. You know, I grew up in an era where children were seen and not heard, so you didn't have a voice. So that's why at the conference, the theme of the conference is Be the Difference. We're going to this conference, this 24th conference, to listen to all these wonderful speakers from around the world to help us be better parents, to help us be better wiser husbands, so that we can be the difference, so that the next generation coming up won't have to go through and suffer and deal with the things that we did, because they have the opportunity to learn and to grow and to be better.
And by the way, I know that Dr. James can come up and let us know about what's happening on Thursday morning. You may want to talk about that, Mr. Rodriguez. Are you there?
Well, our conference it starts on April 24th and it ends on April 27th. And every single day, it's got something that's so powerful and meaningful. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life, if you're a young parent, if you're a professional working with parents, if you are, I don't believe in the word retirement, but you choose to do something else with your life. We also have some exceptional keynotes. We have a gala that we maybe we could talk at another time about, a red tie, red dress gala that we're about to announce nominations for Couples of Excellence and Fathers of the Year, that you can nominate a father or a couple. But then on Thursday morning, it's a special breakfast, and it's an opportunity for people to come together and participate in this conference and go into just a safe place before the last day of our conference, and that's on April 27th.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not looking forward to paying for the breakfast because we did it too cheap, Bishop. I was thinking about that the other day.
Yes, for everyone to know, there is a breakfast that will start at 7:30, and then the actual chat will.
Mona Lisa, I didn't want to cut you off, but $10 for breakfast? I don't know. I don't eat at McDonald's. But what is a Big Mac and one of those potato things and the orange juice? That's got to be more than $10, and this is going to be a plated breakfast.
Well, you understand that the Women to Women and Men to Men chat is about the attendees. It's about them giving them an opportunity to share.
I know, ma'am. I'm going to have to pass the collection bucket. I'm going to have to ask for a love offering. Because the Hilton LAX Hotel, they don't care. They say, we love your men to men, your women to women. Here's a bill.
Well, speaking of Bill, Dr. Jane, would you like to let our listeners know how they can register for the conference and attend the breakfast?
Wow, you are good.
Thank you.
So you Google Fathers and Families Coalition of America, and I'll tell you what, this is the last week that website's going to exist. And we are going to have a brand new, powerful website. But when you go on it, you go to the menu label that says National Conference, and then from there, you just follow hit any one of those pages, and it'll take you to the registration, and you just sign up, and you just add it on.
And there's a whole page to let you know what's on the agenda for every day, so you can see how powerful we have, like I said, speakers from the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, Australia, all over the United States. So we've got a cream of the crop of speakers and facilitators. They're covering all subject matters.
And particularly, we certainly want you there on Thursday morning. I'm looking forward
to
that.
Definitely. What a way to end the conference. Come together early that morning, chat about what you learned, chat about anything. With all that's going on in the world, there are plenty topics that we could talk about at the chat. There is not predetermined what we're going to talk about. We're coming together to chat.
In addition to that, I don't know, I guess we're doing the men and women chat once a month, right?
Bi-monthly is, I think, what we're going to do for 2023.
Bi-monthly. It's going to be bi-monthly.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Unless you all change it up again.
Well,
you know,
we're changing to accommodate.
Yeah, true. That we changed it to accommodate people. But you know, one of the things that I hope people realize, I think twice a year we do a combined.
Yeah.
And it turns out great. I know the end of the year, and I want to say one of the months that are themed. So I invite everyone to connect with Mona Lisa and Bishop, and I think it's exciting. I think for our organization, and I hope people understand this, for a smaller nonprofit, the impact that we've had to reach globally, to have people come from 2022 to our conference from 11 different nations. But it's not just that. It's not the global. I wrote in a blog today, it's like going to a family reunion every year.
Yes.
And you don't have any drama. It's no drama. It's just a beautiful time. And I just feel like for those of you who want to come, when you do, you will experience something that you'll say, you know, I want to come again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason why I got involved with this organization, to find people that are truly passionate and their only desire is to help others be better, is exactly what I was looking for. And that's what you'll find, anyone that you speak to, the speaker, the volunteer, they sincerely want to help fathers and families with their children to raise healthy children and to help healthy relationships. And that is, you actually have to experience it. Words cannot even describe how that is to know that people really care to that extent.
I agree with you. Yeah.
So if you want to give that information out one more time for people that did not have their pens and paper ready, Dr. James, the website.
So please go to Fathers and Families Coalition of America. And when you go there, you know, visit the entire website now, and you'll find it underneath the National Conference page. But within a week, I cannot wait for people to see a brand new page. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think both of you already submitted your passion and purpose.
We have them here.
Mm-hmm. So what we do is we are blending there's a nexus of passion, purpose, mentoring, and legacy. And in the center is each individual that comes to our conference. And you are touched by passion, purpose, mentoring, and legacy because you're giving it to someone else. And I don't want to get too theological, but in Proverbs 18, if you give, more is going to be given back to you. And it's not because you're doing something to get something. When you do something to get something, that's not really giving. That's just you trying to get over. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm an hour ahead, and I am getting ready to go to South Carolina because I gave this young man the commitment to mentor him. And I told him he was going to make it out of the United States Marine for boot camp. And even though people had me speak to him because his mom said, I want you to talk him out of going into the military. And I did this. I probably did a Bishop Hearns. I said, so, son, you want to go in the military? Yes. Are you willing to give your life to someone who may not like you because you're black and Puerto Rican? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself before others? No, you cannot. Are you willing to serve others before yourself? That is the call. And I told him, if you do this, I'll hang in with you. And he and I went on a journey together to get physically fit. Not only did he listen to the counsel that mentoring, I told him that he was going to leave there, leaving the lowest rank in the military, which is an E1, and that he was going to get promoted to E2 private first class. Well, he is going to be private first class, Andre Ocasio McCray, and I can't wait to see him graduate on Friday, and I'm going to leave out to South Carolina tomorrow, and I can't wait to make him do push-ups as well. No. Well, you can't think I'm going to be that nice. I'm still a senior NCO. I'm going to make him do some push-ups. So Bishop knows what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
So anyway, I've got a 5 o'clock flight, so I'm going to depart, but I really appreciate you. And I know you guys are going to continue the conversation and chop it up. But thank you for everything, Paulette and Mona Lisa and Bishop Hearns. God bless.
You're welcome.
God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the podcast.
And see, that's a perfect example of what I was talking about. Him flying out to be with someone on their graduation. You don't find that every day. And he is the founder of Fathers and Family Coalition.
24 years ago. Yeah. And I've been with him for most of those years and had an opportunity to help cause the organization to grow. And it's just been wonderful for me. And while I was helping him, doggone it, come to find out, I helped him myself.
Yes.
Because it fortified me in a lot of different areas that previously I was not fortified in. So it's just been great. And I'm looking forward to particular our men-to-men chat.
Paula, did we have any other questions that came in?
No, they're all online. They're not muted. So if anyone wants to ask, they can talk. So anyone, if you came in late, you want to talk, we're talking about Fathers and Family Coalition of America, upcoming convention, along with, we have Bishop Hearns on the line, and he's with the he's with the Men's Cafe, and then we also have Mona Lisa, that's with the Women to Women Cafe. If there's anybody that would have a question or a comment, just go ahead, because all the lines are open for you to speak.
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Jean Farley, Dr. Jean Farley, and the lady that was mentioned that her father stopped hugging her at a certain age, I was a daddy's girl. I had the greatest father, I think. Next to God, he was my hero, you know.
Amen.
But
great.
And when I was little, you know, he was a single father because my mother left when I was 5, my sister was 9, and my brother was 11. So he was taking care of us. He was working, and so he was trying to make up for two parents. And he did a good job of it. You know, he made a good living for us. But he used to wash my back when I took a bath. But after I got to a certain age, he stopped washing my back. And that's probably like what happened to the other lady that was speaking. But he showed me how to wash my own back. He took a hand cloth, you know, the longer cloth, and he showed me how to soap it up and wash my own back. So,
okay.
It's funny. Some of the things, and Paulette Young, the host, is the one that said my dad stopped hugging me when my body was I mean, it's just changed. But even early before that, because in the beginning it was three of us, and my mom and dad used to put us in the tub together. And as we got between age by four, you weren't allowed to be in the tub together anymore.
Oh, really?
So
that's young.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was young, but they said, no, you'll take your bath by yourself. And I remember those were like significant changing points, how parents is. My dad, I still knew he loved me. I was a daddy's girl. But I didn't understand the, you know, the body stuff in those, in that early years or whatever. Later I did, it's because the body changed and however he was raised, that's just, that's the way it was going to be. But, and he, I don't think he, I would ask, and there was no explanation. It's almost like, I should know. Know what? But when I look back, there was a lot of, there were different things, but yet I knew he loved me. He loved all of us. He was very family-oriented. We sat down. TVs went off when it's meal time because he wanted to sit at that table and talk to one another. How was your day and stuff like that? So he raised us the best way he knew how. I didn't understand until I was grown why my father would not allow me to pick a red dress. I bought my first two red dresses because it was my money. And an old woman, old elderly lady said, do you know why, honey, he didn't want you to buy red? Because, okay, he was part of the time he was in Ohio, Akron, Ohio, and the other part he was in Albany, New York. And she said probably he associated red with prostitution. But, of course, in those days, they're not going to say that's what they associated with, but it was. It was, you know, I'm not a prostitute, but to wear red meant that. So he didn't want red.
You know.
It was his own upbringing.
And a lot of churches, they didn't like you to wear red either. No red lipstick, no red dresses. Because that was too much like the world.
Yeah.
Bishop, you had something to say?
It was more every...
You know?
I don't know
Bishop.
What the men have to
say. I'm just going to make mention that this would, your story would be wonderful to be brought to woman to woman. That would be one that you could share with them. And so that's what we do in this men to men and woman to woman thing, is open up our thoughts and how we grew up, how we overcame issues, and I'm one who passed, like I said, I passed in the church for 52 years, but meantime, I couldn't keep a wife. and so I share that story. In fact, I've even put it in my book. I wrote my autobiography, and from birth to 75 years old. And so there's a lot of things in there that I have uncovered to hopefully help somebody else be able to get over them much easier.
And you said a very important thing right there. The purpose of this is to help, not to exploit, not to shame anyone, not any of those things. It's so that we can learn from each other. I mean, just a simple explanation of the red dress might have made a difference as a child to know what that was about. But again, in that day, children were seen and not heard, and they weren't required. You, as a parent, you weren't required to explain yourself to a child. They were just supposed to accept it, do it, or not do it, depending on what the action that the parent was seeking from that child. But just being in a room and have someone explain that to you, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because I remember he grew up in the neighborhood, you know, blah, blah, blah. That just relieves you of some of those guilt or some of those thoughts of you not being worthy or what that was about, and it just clears things up. So the checks are for us to share with each other, to help each other all become better.
Great.
And it looks like time is about up.
Let me say, I would love to be in the men-to-men to see what they're talking about.
That fly on the wall, huh?
Yeah. I wonder if you're in there because I know you're there.
Are these two separate groups?
Yes. So we will all be having breakfast separately in rooms next to each other, but the breakfast and the check will be totally separate.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 year what we did was we were separate, and then at the end, the last 30 minutes or something like that, we all came together. Is that still being done or no?
No, because of the time constraints, we're going from the breakfast and the chat and to the open session where we have speakers so that everybody will get. However, if someone is in the middle of sharing or if there's an issue going on, we are not going to just leave that person in that state. The rest of the group will go into the open session, and we will stay with that person until they're comfortable, their issue has been resolved, or they felt like they've been heard.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we appreciate you having us on this show.
Thank you, Paulette.
Well, appreciate you being here because you drew in a large crowd, the listening crowd, even though they're not. Everyone's free to talk, not just the speakers. In fact, they would love you if you have questions. We have about almost 2 minutes left, and then the show will end.
And thank you, thank you, Dr. Jean. Dr. Jean is from my home church, New Day Christian Fellowship. So thank you for coming on this evening, and all the rest of you that took the time out of your evening to come on to hear about this wonderful conference and this excellent breakfast and chat that we will be having on that Thursday.
Amen. Thank you for inviting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Really do appreciate it.
Okay, are there any more questions or comments anybody would like to make before the program ends? We'll be on again, not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And we'll have
the 21st?
I believe it's the 21st, and we'll have another guest that'll be on.
Oh, okay.
And Fathers and Families Coalition of America. And they're all the ones that will be at the conference. So you get a little taste of what the conference is all about.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
And thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Mona Lisa.
You're both very welcome. My pleasure.
Contribute. You made my day.
Thank you,
Mona. We love you.
Thank you.
We love you,
thank
too.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and close the podcast.
All right.
What happened?